You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday. How's it going out there? This is The Startup with Monique LeRae. I'm Monique LeRae, coming to you from a very rainy Laguna Beach today. Just wanting to get this party started. We have a lot of great guests. I'm excited. We're expanding the guests that we have on this show, wanting to feature people from all walks of life and many different accomplishments. Our first guest is really unique. He actually was a former congressman, and he has turned his success in that arena into some success with startups and entrepreneurship, as well as motivational avenues. You know, TED Talk is a big platform for that, and he's done some of the things in that space. He just published a new book, so we're going to get into that. Now, before we do, I want to give you guys an update on the Pandemic Project documentary and Sundance next week. As you guys know, we're doing a private screening, and we are looking to have some interesting feedback. We're going to show the first 30 minutes of the film, and we're expecting to hear, you know, what people think. It's going to be a great time. We've got some sponsors. We're going to be up in Park City beginning the 19th, and the event will start on the 21st, which happens to be my 45th birthday. So that's going to be a good time. And shout out to our sponsors, La Casa del Camino here in Laguna Beach. Thank you for all your support. Michael Solberg Family Wines. Thank you, Leah, for everything you do for us. And we have Next Level with Shane Hyman, who's a new sponsor. So crypto, wealth management, and all those fun things. And we'll get more into that. But thank you so much for your support. And without further ado, I would like to bring my first guest on. Rick Keller is here. How's it going today, Rick?
Hi, Monique. Good to be with you.
Oh, good to be with you. Thank you for taking the time on a Sunday. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience and tell us who you are?
So I'm Rick Keller, live in Orlando. My wife, Lori, and I have a blended family of 7 kids. I grew up here in pretty humble circumstances and was able to get a couple lucky breaks and went to college and law school and came back. And after a few years, ran for the United States Congress and I won. And my specialty there was helping poor kids go to college. I increased Pell Grants as chairman of the Higher Education Committee. And then after Congress, after a few years, I decided to write a book. And it's a self-help book called Chase the Bears, Little Things to Achieve Big Dreams. There you go, holding it up. And kind of the motivation for all that and what I'm about now is I didn't meet my dad until I was 14 years old. And at that first meeting, he handed me this little paperback book, and it was called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I know a lot of your
looks like we have a little bit of a connection issue, but he'll be right back. Guys, we're speaking with Rick Keller, author of Chase the Bears. And, you know, it's really an extraordinary book to kind of highlight and give you some foundation. You know, people who are like outlining their success and how they did it really adds value, right? Especially when you're just trying to figure out who you are and what you want to be in an entrepreneur space. So entrepreneurial space. So this book, I highly recommend it. It really does highlight a lot of the things that he's used along the way. And as soon as we get him back, we'll dive a little deeper. If you're not following us on Instagram, you can follow us at The Startup with Monique LeRae or at Monique LeRae Stinson. You can also follow us on the media page, which is at Cap Aquarius Media. And yeah, so I think that would be great. Guys, also, if you haven't seen the trailer to the Pandemic Project documentary, take a look. Go on YouTube and type in these 4 words, The Pandemic Project Documentary. You'll be able to find it. And 7 minutes and 57 seconds. Let us know what your thoughts are there. You can comment below. You can, you know, DM us. We do have an Instagram page as well. And Sam, hopefully we can get Rick back up. You know how these things go with technical things. So in the meantime, okay, great. We're waiting for him to log on. Okay. Yeah, we figured he did. So guys, listen, we've got you know, a couple pickups. And when in production, pickups mean a couple shots, you know, that you need to do. A couple more shots in the film, in the project. And so we've got a few pickups and we're going to start. We're going to do it later this month, but it's just too much on my plate. But we have three areas of interest that we need to cover: Vietnam, South Africa, and New Zealand. So we're going to be going back on the road for that, for the endemic project. But then I promise after that, we are completely done with all three films and all the travel needs for those three films. But I just tend to want to cover as much as possible and be as thorough as possible. And it is an excuse to travel to some really cool places. A lot of times it's a kind of guerrilla casting, you know, it's not really, luxurious. Some of my pictures might seem that way, but it's really rugged traveling. But if you guys are interested in seeing where it all started, the Pandemic Project documentary is the American version. And that's where this whole thing started. And that's where you can kind of start exploring what we found. Yeah, so hopefully more news after Sundance. Hopefully we'll get lucky and meet some people who are interested in picking up the project. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see how it goes. But today we are talking with Rick Keller. There he is. All right. You know, the internet age and the way we're doing things. All right, guys. Rick is back with us. Rick, go ahead and pick it back up where you left off, Rick.
So I was motivated to write this book because a little self-help book changed my life. And I wanted to write a book that would change other people's lives. And so I wrote this book, Chase the Bears, Little Things to Achieve Big Dreams. And I hope it's going to be life-changing. It's a lot like the book Chicken Soup for the Soul, in that it has some real positive, uplifting stories. What makes it a little bit different, though, is I give you the how-to part, how to achieve your goals, how to network the right way, and also use a little bit more humor.
Yes. And I, you know, I did thumb through, and you know, I get about one to two books a week. Well, it used to be more, but I had to kind of scale it back. And I did skim, and I will get to finishing the whole thing. But I do notice that, you, of course, while you're in the House, you know, while you were working in government, excuse me, in Congress, you also weave in a little bit of your experiences in that regard, right? Like a little political roadmaps or little nuggets of moments in what you were doing at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I definitely have become sort of an expert on failure. My path there, I was fired from Wendy's when I was in high school, and the manager said, you don't have what it takes to make it in fast food. And so I felt like my only choice, really, when I'm not good enough to work at McDonald's or Wendy's, was to run for the U.S. Congress. And so I was sort of an underdog there. And something happened that really changed my life that was kind of an emotional turning point that I ended up making the centerpiece of my congressional career. And essentially that was when I was 17, I didn't have enough money to go to college. And my mom's boss was an 81-year-old guy, CEO of a company named Mr. Overstreet. And I asked Mr. Overstreet if his company would make a charitable contribution to help me pay for college. And he said, well, let me run it by the board and I'll let you know. Come back on Tuesday. And I came back on Tuesday and I was nervous. I didn't sleep the night before. And he said that the board met and they would not help me pay for college and that it was nothing personal, but they did that for me. They'd have to do that for all the employees. And I just started crying and I just said, thank you so much. And I just knew that I wasn't going to be going to college like all my friends. And he said, son, you can wipe the tears away. I said, the company couldn't put you through college. I didn't say that I couldn't. He stroked a check and sent me to college. And 4 years later, I graduated first in my class. And that got me a scholarship to Vanderbilt. And he lived just long enough to see me graduate from Vandy Law School. And so I made it my mission to kind of pay it forward. And so when I got to Congress, I increased Pell Grants by 62%. And that helped 5.5 million people go to college. And I tell you that story just because one man who never did a press release about it, didn't seek any personal aggrandizement, with one little kind act changed 5.5 million lives. And wow. I think so many of us don't realize the impact that we can have on people. One little act, one nice thing, one kind word at the right moment could end up being life-changing for other people.
Wow. you know, this really is a chicken soup for the soul. You know, even just your story and how you were able to go to the next level. And what a beautiful person to be able to do that for you. And it was on you to be the best in the top of your class. Of course, you're going to go for it, right? And chase the bears in that regard. And I guess it's a good story to remember that, like, if you're not good at the job or something else, be really great elsewhere. Like, we're all built differently. How did you find your inner entrepreneur? How did you dig down deep to be able to guide entrepreneurs with this book?
I dug down deep by ultimately deciding at the end of the day that God has given us all some gifts, some things that come easy for us that are hard for other people. And for me, that was speaking and humor and writing. And I initially thought I was going to be a doctor, but that's really not my thing. And even though I had good grades and was first in my class, it didn't come easy to me. And I decided, you know, if I'm going to be successful, I'm going to do the thing that comes easy and that I'm good at. And since we're here on the eve of Martin Luther King Day, I think to give you a good example of that is, you know, he got a C in public speaking in seminary school. He's the best speaker that's ever lived. I Have a Dream. And Disney was fired from his job for not being creative enough. And Michael Jordan was cut from his high school team. And the Beatles were told they weren't good enough for the record business. And Oprah was demoted because she didn't have the right stuff to make it in TV news, supposedly. Yeah. But all of those people became spectacular successes because they all used their gifts in life. And even though they stumbled, they didn't fail permanently. And that's sort of my message in this book, too. If you are doing what comes easy to you and you're trying to serve the greater good, you're going to win in the end. You may stumble. You may have some setbacks, just like Dr. King did with the C in public speaking. But at the end of the day, you're going to win.
Beautifully said. And, you know, in the second half of your book, you really speak about connecting with people. This self-deprecating humor, you're saying this is a secret weapon? I love self-deprecating humor. Give us an example of what you mean by that.
So it's the ability to poke fun of yourself, and it takes a lot of confidence to do that, you know? And the people who can do it connect with people, because we don't connect with people by faking it till you make it and put your best foot forward and never let them see you sweat. We connect with people just the opposite way, by being vulnerable and authentic and real. So to give you an example of how I used it, when I first ran for Congress, I was heavily criticized because I didn't have any political experience. And both of my key opponents were very talented politicians who had 8 years experience. And in a debate, one of them said, "You're just an amateur compared to us." And I said, "You know what? I am an amateur." But it was amateurs who built Noah's Ark and professionals who built the Titanic. What boat you would be on? And the place erupted and people sided with me and nobody made fun of me anymore. They realized that, hey, I know I'm a little bit flawed, but I also know I'm a good guy and I believe in myself and you should believe in me too. And that's my message to people, is be willing to poke fun of yourself a little bit, because the best politicians, whether it's Barack Obama or Abe Lincoln, have always been great at that.
I love it. You're taking a little air out of their tires as well. If you do it, it doesn't sting as bad, because you know you're going to be good to yourself in the end, right? I love this. Well, this has been so great. Where can people pick up their copy of Chase the Bears? Living.
Yes, you can get it.
To achieve your big dreams.
Yes, thank you. You can get it on Amazon.com or on my website, which is rickkeller.net. It has links to every place, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, any place books are sold. So rickkeller.net.
Congratulations, Rick. I really, really commend you finishing this book and putting your heart and soul in it. It means a lot, and I know how much work it takes. So congratulations.
Well, thank you, Monique, and thank you for letting me speak to your listeners today.
It's beautiful. We'll see you soon. You have to check in with us.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. All right. That was Rick Keller. Chase the Bears. Little things to achieve big dreams. All right. Let me see. Let's do it like this. All right, guys, you got to pick this up. Really cool. He weaves in, like I said, he was a congressman. He weaves in some references, you know, and when you're in that job, you've got a lot of content, right? Like, there's a lot coming at you. And thank you so much for coming our way, Rick. What a good guy. So there you go. And we have another guest. We have a couple other guests. So without further ado, we're going to Okay, not here yet. Okay. Well, we do have another person coming, which is, this is kind of a cool book too. We're getting all of our political authors and entrepreneurs in today. All right, guys, let's see what else. There's so much to catch you up on. Oscars week coming up. The guys over at WOW, shout out to Matthew and Mark at WOW Creations. They are doing an Oscars week gifting suite that's going to be on Monday, March 6th. So it's a little different this year, but they have a beautiful space in Beverly Hills. Can't tell you where it is, though, unless you are joining us. And if you want to join us, you can email me. I'll check and see if there's any more space. CapAquariusMedia@gmail.com. CapAquariusMedia@gmail.com. I have a little bit of personal news in case anyone cares. And because this is the startup, and it's all about entrepreneurship, I'm always looking to elevate and better my brand, better myself, learn more, and just be better, right? So I've been working on this for about 6 months, maybe 8 months, but I got word yesterday. Actually, it was the 13th. I got word on the 13th that I have been admitted to Pepperdine's MBA program for their business school. So that's a plot twist, right? I'm 44 and a half, and here I am finally being able to get an amazing education with the good people over at Pepperdine and gain my MBA. I am over the moon. I feel so honored that they would entrust me with a position in their curriculum, in their class. I'm going to work my tail off, guys, and I am eternally grateful for you giving me an opportunity to learn with some of the best in the world. And they do have people from all over the world that come to get their to extend their education. Excuse me. So tongue tied today. Maybe I'm excited. So that's a huge accomplishment. Yes, I would have loved to have done it 10 years ago. But, you know, Rick made a great point. Our first guest earlier, he was sharing how he didn't have the funds when he was younger to go to college and someone helped him. You know, that was my case as well. And, so it takes you a little longer. You still can do it, you know, if you want to do it. For me, honestly, it is to learn. And then it's also to kind of have that achievement, right? That MBA behind my name. I mean, I think that that's important when you come from nothing. So from nothing to maybe something, right? So that's what we're pushing around here. So I practice what I preach with the startup guys, but always be elevating, I would say. You know, if you've gotten stuck or you feel like you've learned everything you can, I was able to help a startup today and throughout this last few days. And they'll probably be on the air soon, but they're laying all their foundation. And, you know, as they're doing that, you're seeing some things that could potentially be problematic for them, or, you know, you want to help ease their pain in their startup path, you know, save them a couple coins. I was able to kind of guide them on a couple of things that, you know, it just takes a minute to tweak it. But those are the kind of things, the tangible things that you learn along the way, and you're able to help others on their journey. So I'm going to get some water. My mouth is just so dry, guys. Okay. Let's see what else. We covered that. We covered the new places. Do you guys have any endemic stories? Did you start a business? Did you leave a company? Did you have a pandemic family after? Are you feeling recharged, renewed? Are you feeling not great after the pandemic? And even though I know that some numbers are kicking back up, it's something that's going to probably be with us for a while, honestly, on and off. You know, we'll just have to navigate through it. How are you feeling? How are you feeling after this pandemic, the main hit of it all in the last few years? How have you guys been feeling as entrepreneurs, you know, truthfully? Burnt out? Broke? Excited? Wealthy? Is it something in between? I'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on Instagram at The Startup with Monique Larray, and send us your info. We would love to hear from you if you're a startup. All right. What else? I am really excited about Sundance Week. I have a couple screenings that I'm actually going to. There's two films I'm going to see. And that's going to be great because, like I said, it's my first time going. And I'm throwing a private event and a birthday event that will be, you know, right down the road from all of it. And it looks like with Sundance, it expands throughout the city. So it starts in Salt Lake and it kind of expands up through Park City and all around. So it's all encompassing in that area. Let's give a shout out to some of the sponsors that are going to be part of our swag bag and our step and repeat and all of that during Sundance Week. Okay. I want to give you guys an idea of what we've got going. Again, a shout out to La Casa del Camino. They've been a great partner and friend through this process. I really can't do it without support. I like to think that I can, but I can't. You need help sometimes. All right. Let's see where else we want to give some love to. Shout out to Park City Peaks Hotel. They're hosting us. We really appreciate that. Oh, okay. Let's see who we have here. You know, my editor's been so great. We're going to drop the pandemic film, the international version's trailer really soon. So hang tight for that because it's going to be good. Where the American version left off, we're picking up the international version. So it's going to be really, really good. You guys are going to like it. All right. Well, I don't know why I can't find it here, but we are going to see. I have a good guest coming on here in a little while, you guys. Just hang tight. We have a really good guest. Actually, grab your pen and paper because you're going to learn something. Or you're going to be reminded of something that you knew. But I have a feeling you're going to learn. And this next guest, when she does call in at 4:30, excuse me, she is going to really help us with an understanding about laying the foundation for when you actually elevate from a startup. When you have things that are working in your favor, everything, the train's on the track, it's moving. Maybe you want to, you know, go in a different direction in your personal life. You don't want to be running a business all day. Maybe you want to put some things in place. So she's going to speak to that next step, management, but then that next step of building wealth, right? But before we get to her, shout out to Pillar of Love. Patrick Brennan, thank you so much. He's a sponsor for this event, as well as RexoXO. Shout out to Xavier Caldwell. He's going to be performing two of his songs, just giving you samples of his songs at the event. He's coming up to Park City with us. Matt Sarafa, shout out to Matt Sarafa. Donna Leia, thank you. Donna Leia is going to be dressing me for the event for my birthday. Shout out to Amy over there and Donna. Super Bad INC, thank you, Super Bad, for your love and support. We also have B Naturals. That's going to be amazing, that skincare that they've got coming out of Philadelphia. So shout out to the ladies there, Beatrice and Rafia. And we have Lelux, Pooch Lelux. It's a dog recipe gourmet book. It's amazing. So there's a lot of cool little brands that are amazing brands that are going to be joining us. There's a few other ones that we'll announce as well as we go. I think we're going to post a new logo. A new poster with all the logos so you guys can get the rundown there. And it's going to be a good time. Let's see if you can see the poster from here. You probably can't, but this is what it looks like on Instagram. Right? The pandemic project. Finally, guys, all that running around. Finally, some stuff is starting to happen, huh? Wish us luck. Wish us luck that we meet people. It seems to me that like Sundance is kind of like what we do out here. You know, you have the actual function. Excuse me. I'm really tired today, guys. Sorry. You have the actual function, but then you have these after parties, mixers, things around town that people are connecting, you know, and I got hit up by a couple PR people to go to a couple things and then for them to also bring people to my event. So it seems that way. And I think it really is all about who you meet and who you network with. I will tell you that if you own property in Park City, Salt Lake City, this month and next month, you're making coins. Okay. I was checking to see how much things go for, like, you know, to rent a place or to, you know, do whatever. And some of these places are getting $3,000 a night, $5,000 a night, $10,000. I saw a house, a 4-bedroom house that was getting $30,000 to $35,000 a night. So, you know, it's in a high demand area. I can't imagine, but I think that, you know, it's good that they're getting their coins and people are there networking, and there's going to be some really, really breakout cool films. I have a feeling. Some of the screenings are also being held at Sundance Ski Mountain. There's a mountain, in case you're not familiar. I went there to kind of scout it out a week and a half ago or so. Yeah, Sundance isn't just a film festival. They actually have a ski mountain. Robert Redford founded it in 1981, I believe. So from then, it's been a hit. Let me tell you guys which films I'm going to go see. I'm going to screen Shada, S-H-A-Y-D-A. Okay, I'm screening Shada. And I am screening Last Things, a film called Last Things. So that should be interesting. The Egyptian is the most recognizable thing for Sundance that you're going to see. And I was there and I checked it out. It's a small, cute little, you know, theater. And it's right in the heart of Main Street in Park City. And it's all going down. So good. So that we're caught up with that. Sam, hopefully our person will be here. Yeah. All right. Guys, what do you want to see from this show? I'm open to ideas. You know, put anything in the comments that you would, you know, guess that you would like to see, products you want us to try. Okay, great. Well, you know what? At least somebody's Wi-Fi is working on this end. We have see, this is the surprise I was saving for you guys. We have Portia Woods, and she's joining us now. Miss Portia!
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Portia. I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for making the time on a Sunday. I know that it's family time. I saved the best for last. I wanted my listeners and viewers to have 20 minutes with you. And why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody exactly who you are and what you do?
Hi, sure. So my name is Portia Wood. I am a generational wealth planning attorney, and I focus on building and protecting generational wealth, particularly in Black and Brown communities, where we have been historically and sort of systematically marginalized in that area, and making sure that people know how to take agency and to protect everything they're working for. So I get to practice with my mom, which is very cool to have a multi-generational, female-owned and operated Black woman law firm that's out here doing work to change the narrative around Black wealth in this country.
I'm loving it. And, you know, why don't we go full screen? I want everyone to focus on Portia here, even though you can hear my voice. Sam, we'll go full. Perfect. Portia, go ahead and tell us exactly what you mean. Give us some examples of when someone is moved out of the startup space and perhaps they want to put some things in place. I know that we were speaking offline. What does that look like and how can they build wealth? Give me some pointers of what they might be missing.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're thinking about building and protecting intergenerational wealth in this country, everybody needs to have an estate plan. If you're over the age of 18 or you're an emancipated minor, you need to have a certain baseline level of estate planning. And as people continue to build assets, that's sort of the financial home that they're building on top of that plan. So what does that look like? The first thing is, what happens if you get sick? Whether you're a business owner or, you know, in your startup or a stay-at-home parent or just on your way to college, if you cannot make decisions for yourself because you've either been in a car accident or take even COVID-19, then someone has to legally be allowed to step up and access your bank accounts, make decisions about your businesses, make decisions about you personally. If you don't pick that, then you need to go through a court process and you leave it up to a judge. One of the most public and recognizable conservatorship cases, I think, would be the one of Britney Spears that has had international sort of notoriety and a Netflix documentary about it. But so that is a really good example of someone who didn't have things in place. So that's number one. Number two is going to be medical documents. Who do you want to make medical decisions for you? And so when you're thinking about that, it's if you can't, if you're in a car accident, if you have a very public mental health breakdown, if you have COVID-19, who decides about your long-term care? If you don't make those decisions, then the judge or the court will need to pick someone to make those decisions for you. Those first two things have nothing to do with how much money you have. They have nothing to do with how old you are, except for the fact that if you're over 18, that you need these. It has everything to do with personal autonomy. So whether you're in the startup phase, a stay-at-home parent, a student going off to college, a young person in your life, or a single person just running around, no matter who you are, those first two things, everybody needs. The third piece is going to be your distribution plan. What happens to everything that you're building after you're gone? So when we think of a business, even in the startup phase, you need a succession plan. What happens to that business if something happens to you? Who manages it? How do the clients who maybe have contracts get served? Who is legally able to wind up that business or get access to the bank accounts? All of those things can be a part of the distribution plan. For the average individual, it's going to be who gets your stuff. And more than just who gets it, but how. The wealth part is in the how. So do they have to go through a court process? Are there mechanisms in place to give them creditor protection, divorce protection, formulas for how to use the assets? And that's really going to be how we build wealth. There's three main components, right? One, your property power of attorney. Two, your medical directives. And three, your distribution plan. And that is for everyone, and no matter what stage of life they are, if they're 18 and older, they need to have those three basic components to protect what they're building.
Wow. When you say the wealth is in the how, that is so powerful. When you're looking at the wealth that has been lost just with transferring assets, I think you were sharing offline with me, you were giving a great example of like some of our pop icons. Could you dive into that a little bit more so people could kind of get a grip on that?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the most recent examples, I think, would be Chadwick Boseman. We got to see very publicly this probate of his estate. And it was a battle between his new wife and his family and sort of the government fees that were coming into the estate. And what they found, or what was recently settled, was there was a $3.8 million estate. The wife got 1.15, the family got 1.15, and the government in court fees and other taxes, et cetera, took 1.5. They got the majority, the larger share than the wife individually or the family, and $900,000 of that was said to have gone just to the probate court itself. Now, wow. Probate is 100% avoidable. So for the average family, right, they're losing huge amounts of money that can be generationally impactful just by going through a process that they never needed to be in the first place. So Chadwick Boseman is one. Aretha Franklin is another. You know, she had no plan for her estate, which still baffles me to this day, because yeah. She literally wrote in outfit changes for her funeral. She had it planned down to the T. She was going out with a bang. Yeah. But she had a special needs son. She had a huge catalog. She had assets and homes and other things that really needed a plan. And there was no plan for them. Wow. And so what we saw was these people saying, oh, I found a will in the couch cushions, or I found this here, and, you know, people presenting it. And it ended up being a huge mess. And it took years and years to finally get to a place where, you know, it may be able to be settled. I think about Anne Heche and just the accident, right?
Yes.
The car accident, which can come for any of us at any point in time. You know, we're lucky if we get through the day without something happening. For some people, they just don't. And Anne Heche would be one, you know, the sort of freak accident. And then we see these news reports that her son is battling to get control over making decisions for her and for her estate that time. And so when we think about the fact that none of us are getting out of this life alive, right?
Oh,
none
darn.
Of us. I know, right?
I'm like, burst your bubble, guys.
Yeah, sorry. In case you didn't know, none of us are getting out of here alive.
Okay.
But, you know, one of the big pieces is that it's not about if something happens. It really is a question of when. 63% of people over the age of 65 need some form of long-term care before they pass away. I mean, that's just the statistics that come out, right? The average amount of care is about 2.5 years. Women, however, tend to live longer. That's an average of men and women. But women, we tend to live longer. We just don't tend to live healthier. And so what we see is that, especially in the Black community, high incidences of heart disease, diabetes, et cetera, some of that stress-induced, some of it diet, exercise, whatever, we tend to need care for these different medical conditions and then not have the pieces in place to protect it. And so when we think about starting a business or building our businesses or building our families or just existing as the, you know, the rich auntie in the world, whatever it might be, there has to be a plan for you. Because if you don't make a plan yourself, the court or the state has a default plan for you. And that default plan may not be the one that's going to protect your family. It may not be the one that's going to be easy. It may not be the one that's going to keep what you work for every day protecting your family, right? Being used in that way. In many instances, it's not, because too much of it is eaten up. So that's what we do.
That's fascinating to know that there is a default plan, and it does not sound fabulous. It sounds that I don't even know what it sounds like, because you haven't told me yet, but I have a feeling it sucks.
It does suck. It does. You know, on average, it's estimated that about $2 billion is lost annually in the probate process in this country. Billion with a B. And you know, when we think about what that economic loss means for American families, it means that the family home may not still be with the family. It means that what could have paid for college now isn't available for college. And so people are taking on debt, which is why we have trillions of dollars in student loan debt now, which then has the ripple effect, right? Now you've got to work to get out of debt versus being able to acquire assets and build your own nest egg. And so it has this continuing effect on how it impacts families. Yeah. There was a study that was done and published in 2017 inside of The Atlantic, and it found that only 13% of college-educated African-Americans were getting $10,000 or more to the next generation.
Wow.
$10,000.
Wow. That's not even... You can't even, what can you do with that? I mean, we can make it work, but you could probably get a little condo in Vegas, maybe, or that's a down payment.
It's a piece of a down payment. No, but it is, right?
Wow.
If you look at, so one of the reasons why they used $10,000 as the barometer was because $10,000 had the ability to be transformational in someone's life.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a lot for, you know, particularly in a state like California where everything's so expensive, but it does really have the ability to be transformational. It had the ability to get someone out of the paycheck to paycheck cycle. It's enough money to invest, to have a meaningful return that can be impactful and continue to grow. And so $10,000 was their barometer on wealth, and 87% of African-American, college-educated African-American families were not even getting that much.
Wow.
And it's not that we don't have it, right?
Like, we are the culture, right?
We have it. We're just not getting it. across the board, across the line, right? We're losing large swaths in the majority of our earned wealth at that generation transfer. Now, that's not to say the other conversation that's happening right now around reparations and other things, that is still important, right? Because there are real systemic and legal issues that have impacted our wealth over generations as well. But this one is the one that is 100% within our power that we are giving away. And so for us, it's about reclaiming our power and taking it out of the state's hands and putting it back into our own. Doesn't mean that the other things aren't happening. It just means that we can do things today to build and perpetuate our own wealth. It just requires a plan.
And that is so, that's so important that all these things can be happening at the same time. And when you look up, you're going to have this beautiful game plan, this beautiful portfolio, this beautiful action plan. And you can look back and go, okay, I did all this work and it actually is paying off and it's blessing my family and whomever I want to leave it to. What are your do's and don'ts for 2023 for us, for everyone? But, you know, no more buying Yeezys or, I mean, we're not trying to hate on anybody, but like, where can we shave some of the fat where we're being a little extra? Like, guys, these, I mean, I love Dr. Dre and I'm glad he made his thing, but these aren't beats. You know what I mean? These aren't beats. Where can we slim the spending and focus on wealth?
I would say it's not the $5 lattes. you know, I always love it when people are like, oh, you know, just stop drinking lattes. I'm like, nah.
Let me have my happiness in a cup.
That's not really it, right? But the piece that people need to think about is that it's little tweaks, right? What you have right now, you're accumulating and it doesn't feel like wealth because you have to pay for it. You have to maintain it. You have to earn it. You have to create it. It feels like work, not wealth, right?
Yeah.
but someone else who inherits that from you gets the benefit of your hard work. So if you were able to get a house and let's say you refinance that house, right, in 2020 or 2021, when we saw these historic lows, you might have a 2.5% mortgage. Your child might be riddled with student loan debt. They might not be able to get a mortgage. But when you pass away, you're passing them a house. And guess what? They can assume in many instances your mortgage. And so now they get the benefit of that 2.5% rate because you had a plan for it. And if your plan consists of a living trust, so it doesn't go through the court process. If that living trust is a multi-generational trust and it's got restrictions, so they can't sell that asset or their creditors can't attach to it, all of these other things that you can put into place to make sure that that asset, that one house, can be a catalyst for wealth accumulation in your family. What do I mean by that is that's a leverageable asset. Yeah. If you've been paying on it for the last 20 years, right, or 30 years, or it's paid off, once your kid inherits it, you can put stipulations in that say they can't live there.
Oh. Why not? Depending on your situation, you guys.
Everybody's situation is different.
Whatever you're dealing with.
but if there's a mortgage, right, they've lived somewhere.
Yeah.
Already. So they're living somewhere. So one of the things that, you know, sometimes my clients will say is, I want it to be an asset. Great. Here's what we can do. We can put a restriction on sale. They can't sell it and nobody can live there. Okay, well, what can we do? Well, we can make it a rental. And in a market like LA, rents are very high, but no matter where you go in the country, there is someone who's going to pay you to live in that house because
you've got to have a roof. So
you've got to have a roof.
Yeah.
And so if you can do that, and let's say there's no mortgage on that property, well, your child could use that rent to help get a mortgage because now they've increased the amount of money they have coming in. And if they can go take a mortgage, let's say they take $200,000 out of that house. Mm-hmm. That $200,000 is being fully repaid by the tenants. It's a tax-free distribution to them, tax-free money because it's a loan that they don't have to pay for. With that $200,000, they can go buy another home.
Yeah.
And now they have 20% down or the full value of another house, or they can pay for college, or they can start a business. That one house that's being paid for by someone else and leveraged by your children has now created economic vehicles for the future.
Woo,
one little bit of protection, right? One little tweak. But instead, we get we get too caught up in emotion.
Yeah.
I find that, you know, we get too attached to stuff. Yeah. And we don't think about it critically. So in 2023, I would say to everybody, get educated on your options.
Ooh.
And then take action.
Yes.
It is not enough to know, right? It's not enough to know, but take this first quarter, January, February, March, and really take some time to educate yourself on what the process is so okay. that you know what's coming for your wealth, like what you have to protect against, and then what kinds of plans you can put in place to protect against them, because everybody's situation is different. If you finish that, once you know what you're up against and what your options are, you will instinctively start seeking out protections for those assets.
Yeah.
Because none of us go to work every day to give it away.
We really don't. Now, unless you win the lottery, maybe you could start giving away and you get a car, you know, maybe we can all be like Oprah, but yeah, you know what?
You get a car.
Duplex. You know, it's funny because I was helping a startup this week and I was thinking about you and our conversation and I felt like I'd known you. We spoke, I couldn't get off the phone. I wanted to get off the phone to give her back to what she needed to do, but I couldn't get off because she was so amazing. And I thought of you. When the startup, they needed a little guidance this week and I was happy to do it, you know, and they were doing something. I just tweaked a little something for them. And I said, you know what, Monique, just put it in the universe. It's good karma. But I said, listen, now if I give you this idea, we don't have a contract in writing and I don't usually do this without writing. But if this works for you, don't send me a check. Don't send me a Bentley. Buy me a duplex.
Yes.
Buy me a duplex.
I love that.
Okay, we'll give you the trust name. But yeah, and these are all, you said financial vehicles. What a great way to say it. If someone wanted to find you and your mother, and by the way, this is a mother-daughter team, which I think is so fabulous. How can they reach you, Portia? Are you booked and busy this year? What's happening?
No, so we have a big and very ambitious goal this year. Last year, we did a lot of educating. So this year, we are trying to double the amount of families that we reach. It does feel like a state of emergency. So people can find us at woodlegalgroup.com. That's just woodlegalgroup.com. We have a lot of free information there. We've got a resource library that is free that people can tap into and start to learn more. We have webinars that we do every single month for estate planning with minor children or just wills, trusts, and generational wealth planning. I've got speaking engagements and I'm continuing to book speaking engagements for church groups and family groups and, you know, sororities, fraternities, whoever wants to bring this information to the group, we're really setting that forth. Okay. And we are gearing up to try to get 10 families protected through our Juneteenth giveaway,
ooh,
which will happen in Juneteenth. And so, you know, this will be the fifth year that we've done it. So we're really excited.
I love that. That's great, great karma for you and for everyone. Can we nominate some people? How can our listeners and viewers get in on that? That sounds great.
So when it opens up, people will be able to submit an application and we will put it in the randomizer. As long as they meet the criteria, we'll put them in the randomizer and it will pick the people. We're really trying to protect the most vulnerable members of our community. So we're really thinking about the baby boomer population, people who may be retired and followed the advice of their day that now hasn't necessarily panned out because they just didn't have access to that information. And perhaps they're on fixed incomes and they're no longer in a position to do that. We want to help protect and change the narrative for their families. So those are typically the people we're looking out for. We have a whole t-shirt and sweatshirt line that we launched over the holidays to help support this initiative so that we can bring on more people to help with the estate planning so that we can actually get to more families. And if we can hit the mark, we'll keep adding on families above that 10.
Well, we're here for you. We want to help as much as we can get the word out. And I want you guys listening on the startup to reach out to Portia's company and give that website one more time, Portia.
Sure. It's woodlegalgroup.com. And if you are a fan of TikTok, you can follow me on Black Trust Fund Kids, which is our other project about normalizing intergenerational wealth in the Black community.
I'm with that. I'm so with, and Portia and family and team are going to join us on March 6th in Beverly Hills. Can't tell you the location, but she'll be with us for the Oscars Week Celebrity Gifting Suite. We're so excited for you to get into that space, Portia. Are you excited?
I am. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. Two changes, okay? Like outfit one, outfit two. That's what I always say.
Oh, I can do that.
I love that.
I might even have outfit three. You never know.
I know, that's right.
It could be different. What can I say?
I love it, Portia. I appreciate everything that you and your family are doing in this space. Thank you for educating myself and our listeners. And I would love to have you back. If you could do a monthly check-in, we would really love it this year if you're available, you know, for a couple minutes.
Let's do it. Happy to do it.
You know, all right. Beautiful.
Yes, things continue to evolve. Like I said, it really is a state of emergency. And I know we're wrapping up, but I do think it's important for the listeners to know that those statistics that came out of 13% was in 2017. We have since had COVID, where one in 289 African Americans died as a result of COVID-19 throughout this pandemic. Wow. The largest wealth transfer in the history of this country is happening, right? It's happening now in Black and Brown communities as the impact of COVID-19. We probably have about 10 to 15 years to get the baby boomer population effectively covered, and really to get everybody effectively covered. 70% of African Americans have no estate planning at all. And there was another study that was done that said by 2053, the median net worth for African American families would hit zero if we did nothing. Oh. That was, again, before COVID-19. And what people fail to realize is once we've lost it, we can't buy it back. There is no substitute to a paid off house, to being able to maintain property taxes or getting somebody's low mortgage rate or any of these other things. So we want to make sure that people understand the time is now.
The time is now. And the time is now for us to go. But we're going to get Portia back. What will you start up today? Portia, we'll see you soon. Come back and share more. Okay.
Be well. Absolutely. I would love
to. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.